Welcome to Study, Grow, Know, where we discuss theology, prophecy, and current political issues from a conservative biblical perspective. Here's your host, Dr. Fred DeRuvo.
Well, hi. Thank you for joining me. This is Dr. Fred, and you're listening to another episode of Study, Grow, Know. Today's topic is Discerning the Times, February 5th, 2021. Now, we've changed the name of our previously highlighted series, News and Notes Update, to the more accurate, I think, Discerning the Times. And we're going to stick with that title and change the date as we go. Now, there are many aspects of these days that appear to be catapulting us toward the tribulation. And frankly, I'm amazed, actually, that more pastors and teachers are not covering the things that are occurring in society throughout the world. I'm not sure why that is, except possibly, I don't know, a lack of interest or maybe a lack of understanding on their part. They just aren't focused in on that. Jesus, Paul, and others talked about the coming event some 2,000 years ago. How much more relevant is it today? I mean, really, if you stop to think about it. Now, of course, the other extreme is what I constantly see on social networks where people are, for instance, still trying to figure out who the Antichrist is or believing all things related to Q or constantly telling us about these quote-unquote prophecies from today's quote-unquote prophets, all alleged prophets and apostles as part of the NAR, New Apostolic Reformation Movement, and that the USA's salvation is just around the corner. We just need to hang on, hold the line, stay focused. Well, I'm also planning on producing several short 5 to 10 minute videos each week. I'd like to hopefully start next week, but I'll keep you posted. I want to get information out to you in short bites, to make them easily digestible and also to allow people to view them on their phones without using up a ton of data. And it'll also make it easier for people to share these videos with others via the phone, your social networks, or whatever if you choose to do that. So stay tuned to that, and I'll have more hopefully next week on that information. Now, first thing up here on Discerning the Times is gun control. There is a huge gun control working its way through Congress, and it's sponsored by Sheila Jackson Lee of Texas. And, of course, they want to eliminate the Second Amendment. That's very difficult to do, and they can't really do that, so they'll settle for other things. None of what they want passed will have any effect on criminals getting guns, using guns, or whatever. It never does. So if you'll go to my website, studygrowknowblog.com, and then you look at the article, Discerning the Times for February 5th, again, you will see the links to these articles right in the article there or at the end of the article. So you can click on those links. You can also do that if you're listening on sermonaudio.com/studygrowknow. You can also go to the accompanying PDF document for this particular broadcast, and it also has the links in it. But the gun control is huge. It's massive. It's being described as a monster bill. So it's pretty interesting what they're attempting to do. So we need to stay in touch with that and on top of that and see what things are happening there. And again, this is all pushing us toward a globalized government. And so in order for that to happen, the United States Constitution has to be neutered. It has to be destroyed. Yeah, you can still leave it up there. You can still refer to it. But its power must be taken away. It's got to be stripped of the power. So the way they're going about that is by putting all kinds of things in front of the Second Amendment and not touching directly the Second Amendment. Because in order to change the Second Amendment, I'm sure you know, if you don't know, basically what they'd have to do is they'd have to create another amendment. And that is not easy. That really is not easy. So you'll recall, maybe if you know your history, that they did this with Prohibition, and it outlawed all drink, all alcohol. And that clearly didn't work, didn't solve the problem. So eventually, another amendment was made to literally cancel out or rescind the First Amendment that prohibited alcohol. That's the way it has to be done, but they're going to try every way they can to go around that Second Amendment, not touch it, and just put all kinds of laws and restrictions in front of it. Now, let's move on here. Let's talk about the Antichrist for a minute. I saw one post yesterday on Gab's social network where a person concluded that Joe Biden is the Antichrist. You know, it seems like with every president we get, that person is in the running for Antichrist. Years ago, it was Henry Kissinger, Jimmy Carter, all these people. It's just kind of fascinating the way people are always grasping at these straws and trying to fit these people into the mold of the Antichrist. Well, I have an image in the article on my studygrownoblog.com where it shows what the individual tweeted out or posted on Gab. And what he does is he quotes Revelation 13:16, and which talks about the number of his Antichrist's name. And then the poster goes on to try to prove that Joe Biden is the Antichrist based on the number of his name. And that number is 30330. But what's interesting is that particular number has nothing to do with Joe's name per se. It is basically the number that you would text to receive text updates. And this goes back to the end of 2019 when Joe Biden asked people to, quote, go to Joe 30330, when in actuality he meant to text to Joe 30330, and then you'd be put on a list and you'd constantly get updates. But the idea that Joe Biden is the Antichrist is really too absurd for words. I mean, honestly, Joe may not even finish out his first term, likely being committed to an assisted living facility for the memory impaired. What the Bible is most likely referring to in Revelation 13:6 is gematria or gematria, a language that also allows numbers for each letter. So every letter in the alphabet in a particular language, like Hebrew, for instance, also has a corresponding number associated with that letter. That's what the Bible's referring to. But only those living during the time Antichrist is not only alive, but actually ruling, will be able to discern the number of his name. It's not for us now, any more than Daniel or John could fully appreciate the visions they were given hundreds and hundreds of years ago. The Apostle Paul tells us that the Antichrist will be brilliant. Here's what he says. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth, that they might be saved. 2 Thessalonians 2:9-10. That's the New King James Version. So why are they going to be deceived? Why are they being deceived? And when the Antichrist steps up onto this world as ruler, they will continue to be deceived? Why is that? Because they don't love the truth that would or could save them. They reject it. And so when they reject the truth of salvation, the one true God, they are only open to lies at that point. Does Joe Biden fit the bill as coming from someone who will have all power and signs and lying wonders? Sure, he's a liar. Sure, he's trying to deceive us. But is there brilliance there? Not even close. He is a globalist puppet. He is not the Antichrist. Now, another thing I saw, and this was on Twitter, is somebody decreeing something in Jesus' name. Now, I've got the image on my website in the article listed, Discerning the Times, February 5th, but let me read what the image says. Lord of hosts, I decree that you expose the deeds of our mayors, judges, all wicked city leaders, and make the citizens understand that we must guard against greedy, corrupt puppets of communists and Satanists in all local, state, federal government from now on. In Jesus' name, amen. So, I put the image up there, and I purposefully blocked out the name of the person who tweeted that. But look what she wrote first. Lord of hosts, I decree that you... We do not decree anything. We do not tell God what to do. He is not there to fulfill our every wish, nor does he need our permission to do anything. There is nothing biblical about what this person has, quote unquote, prayed. And Christians who do this really need to take a good, hard look at some of the prayers of the prophets to learn what humility is all about when we approach God in prayer. By the way, this is part and parcel of the charismatic movement and the faith healer or word of faith movements. They are diabolically wrong. And dare I say, even blasphemous. Daniel 9 presents a completely opposite picture of true humility before God. Just read the way Daniel prayed here in Daniel 9, 4 through 7. And I'm reading from the New King James Version. O Lord, great and awesome God, who keeps his covenant and mercy with those who love him and with those who keep his commandments. We have sinned and committed iniquity. We have done wickedly and rebelled, even by departing from your precepts and your judgments. Neither have we heeded your servants, the prophets, who spoke in your name to our kings and our princes, to our fathers and all the people of the land. O Lord, righteousness belongs to you, but to us, shame of face. As it is this day, to the men of Judah, to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and Israel, those near and those far off in all the countries to which you have driven them, because of the unfaithfulness which they have committed against you. Wow. I don't see Daniel decreeing, demanding, or dictating anything to God in those verses. Do you? Did you hear anything like that? Do you think God answered or will answer the prayer of the person that I quoted earlier with her tweets and her decrees? Well, eventually he will, but only because his overall plan for this world will not occur. Eventually he will do that, but only because his overall plan for this world, which will not occur until he physically returns and sets up his kingdom at the end of the tribulation, is part of his plan. That's when he will vanquish evil and begin his reign for 1,000 years with a rod of iron. How dare we assume such a position of dominance before our great and holy God. This is totally disgraceful. It should not be done. Yet people who saw this tweet responded with, Amen. No, there's no Amen. No, there's no Amen. Well, let's move on. There's a good deal of information coming out related to CV-19 and the vaccine. While it appears millions have been vaccinated and or are lining up for their poke in the arm, many others are not having it. And their reason is they are concerned about its efficacy and safety. Too many have already been harmed or died, though these are often downplayed as really not having anything to do with the vaccination. They must have had it before, it just wasn't known, etc., etc. And by the way, we highlight information and facts concerning CV-19 simply because we believe these things are being used by globalists under Satan's direction to gain full control over society. And it is important we understand what is actually occurring in the world, which appears to be the creation of the final global empire over which Antichrist will rule for 7 short years. That's it. The USA appears to be in its death throes, to be assimilated into the coming new world order and totally stripped of its superpower status. Now, God is allowing that, isn't he? Well, to that end, I'd like to recommend the following video from Pastor J.D. Farag of Hawaii. And you can go to his website, jdfarag.org. I've grown to enjoy his videos, albeit I will admit I watch them at an increased speed of 1.25 or 1.5 because he tends to speak slowly and he pauses a great deal. I find that I'm more engaged when I speed up the video and it doesn't change the pitch of his voice, it simply moves things along more quickly. You can check out Prophecy Update 01-31-2021. And again, you can go to my webpage or look at the PDF file accompanying this broadcast for the links there. And I would suggest that you start around the 26 or 27 minute mark where Pastor Farag speaks of the problems with the CV vaccine based on what actual experts have been saying recently and as far back as 2012. Because coronavirus has been here for a while. This is not the first version of coronavirus. It's been here for at least a decade. Links to other videos that he refers to in this video are underneath his main video. Now, the CV-19 vax is not a vaccine per se, according to medical professionals like Dr. Wakefield, who says that it is an irreversible genetic modification. It is literally software loaded into the person's body, and it's turning people into GMOs, able to be controlled outside genetically because of what is put inside their body. Now, the CV-19, and by the way, this isn't the first thing that comes out. I've talked about Dr. Kerry Medej in my area and other doctors who are saying the same thing. The CV-19 vax is an mRNA vax. The M stands for messenger to our cells. What's the message it sends to our cells? Well, most doctors tell us that the vaccine is merely designed to cause our immune systems to fight the disease by introducing something into our system that's similar to the disease, or in some cases, even the dead virus itself. But remember, they have not yet isolated the CV-19 virion in the lab at all. So I have to wonder, how are they able to create a test that determines if people are infected with CV-19? Or how are they able to create a vaccine that is supposed to help to eradicate or at least reduce symptoms of CV-19 if they've not isolated the CV-19 virion in the lab? Interesting question. Seems like a lot of people don't even care. Most doctors tell us the vax is designed to cause the immune system to work, to fight the disease. Other doctors tell us it will alter us at the cellular level and not for our good. I find it interesting that the latter doctors, not the former, the latter ones are often banned from social media and some have even lost their jobs. They're basically kicked to the curb. And by the way, that's the way the medical profession deals with doctors. And it has been proven in history time and time again, they deal with doctors that way who do not promulgate or propagate the accepted narrative. Now, Farag also notes from health officials that getting the vaccine does not, check this out, prevent transmission of the virus at all. So it's a genetic modification, and it does not prevent transmission. I see. Why get a vaccine that is billed as 95% effective for an illness that has a 99% plus survival rate? I'm not sure about that. Interesting. Well, speaking of truth tellers, there is a very lengthy thread that I've linked to by Dr. Shahzad Faisal Chowdhury. I hope I said his name correctly. And he originally posted this on Twitter, but his thread was what they call unrolled on ThreadReader. So you don't need Twitter to view it. And it's all in one place. So, again, if you go to the PDF or go to my studygrownoblog.com website and look for this article, you will see a link to Dr. Shahzad's article. And what he does, he starts off by talking about metformin as a medication for CB19. And then he gets into numerous related areas about the CB19 vaccine, masks, and all the rest. So I would really encourage you to please read through it. Knowledge is power. Knowledge is power. Brainwashing is not power. Brainwashing is just simply allowing them to do whatever they want to do to us because, it's for our good. Knowledge is power. Now, apparently, the CDC also now says that, hey, teachers do not need the CV19 vaccine for schools to reopen safely. Gosh, who knew? Forgive my sarcasm. Now, there appears to be no reason at all to not have in-person school. Now that students have lost pretty much a year and we're into the second one, please note that this info, like others, came after Trump was out of office. And again, I have a link to a thread on ThreadReader from Ann Bauer, who sat in one of these Zoom meetings with parents and legislatures in the state of Minnesota. So I think you'll find it very, very interesting. It's not nearly as long as Dr. Shahzad's thread, but it's also very good. By the way, do you remember the pandemic tabletop role-playing scenario that Bill Gates was part of in 2019? It was called Event 201. Well, it was allegedly just simply coincidence that CB19 occurred not long after that simulated LARP, which stands for live-action role-playing. Okay, but wait. There is another scenario on the horizon called SPARS, S-P-A-R-S. And if you'll look that up, again, to the link on my page, there is a date listed there for this, 2025 to 2028. Well, I'm guessing SPARS, or something like it, will be on the scene in society earlier. But notice that it ends before completion of Agenda 2030, which, of course, it's all going to be up and going by 2030. Isn't that convenient? These people actually get together and discuss possible scenarios related to public health situations that could, and you need to read, will happen in society. We are the guinea pigs, folks. We are the guinea pigs. Proceed with extreme caution and lots of God-given discernment. Ask him for it. Ask him for it. Now, remember back when I highlighted the World Health Organization recommending a lower cycle threshold or CT number to be used in PCR tests in determining CV19 infections in people? Well, a mere 3 weeks later, we're learning that CV19 infections are down by 30% and deaths are down by 21%. It's a miracle. Actually, the miracle is determining if a person is actually infected with CV19 at all, since they have, as I've stated, not isolated the CV19 virion in the lab yet. In spite of this lack, they were apparently able to create a vaccine? Really? No, they simply used a generic spike protein from a previous coronavirus that they think is similar to the current CV19 virus. I think we're being played, folks, as I'm sure you know and many of you probably agree with me. Reductions in infections and deaths are not even close to being a miracle. The new situation exists simply because labs took the WHO's recommendation and lowered the cycle threshold number for PCR tests. Now, of course, the article does not mention that. It simply states that, oh, it must be at least partly due to vaccinations people have had. And it must be creating this herd immunity that's so desperately needed in society. All the sheeple sigh in relief. Well, our friend Dr. Shahzad highlights a study that confirms, the link is also in the page, long-term mask use breeds microbes that infiltrate the lungs and contribute to advanced stage lung cancer. Isn't that something? So they're recommending that everybody wear masks, and now they're saying that your mask must be 2 to 3 layers. So they're recommending this, knowing full well, most likely, that long-term use will lead to, or can lead to, advanced stage lung cancer. Well, we knew that wearing masks all the time was not healthy, but people have gotten into the habit of wearing them. They make their kids wear them and also wear them by themselves in their cars. It's more than unhealthy. According to the study, masks can be literally deadly. Literally deadly. Well, folks, we're just about done for today, but I wanted to also mention that I've got another series coming up called God's Coming Great Reset. And in it, I want to start breaking things down as far as end time events are concerned. So look for that hopefully next week, and go with God, people. Keep close. Get close. I pray that until we meet again, whether in written, audio, or video form, God will open your eyes to show you how blessed you are in Him.
You've been listening to Study, Grow, Know with Dr. Fred DeRuvo. Please join us each week for new broadcasts that deal with theology, prophecy, and political issues from a biblical, conservative perspective.